But it is 7:26 on your Monday morning. We love this guy. He's the editor of the National Review. His columns, often syndicated in the New York Post around the country. Also writes for Politico, an NBC contributor on TV, too. Although, again, he wasn't on Meet the Press yesterday, so I had to shut Chuck Todd off. All my loyalties these days are to Rich Lowry, back on a Bernie and Sid Monday. Good morning, Rich.
Hey, how's it going?
What's up, bro? Hey, Yankees swept the Tigers this weekend. You're in a good mood today. I know that.
If you don't sweep the Tigers, you're in bad shape.
I know. If you're sick, man, those Tigers, they are a remedy like nothing else. Let's let's get to Tim Scott. Tim Scott, of course, with the rebuttal on Wednesday after that disastrous speech, joint session of Congress by the President of the United States. And Tim Scott had the nerve to say, we don't live in a racist country. I watched a lot of this stuff yesterday morning, and they really seized on that. I think Tim Scott's right. What about you?
I think he's right. I think it was a great rebuttal. Usually those rebuttals are a career ender, or at least they never go well. And he was really fantastic and really put a good face on the party, tried to reach out to the middle while giving no ground, and especially on this issue. And he's absolutely right. This country that has racists, every country in the world has racists, and most countries in the world are more racist than we are. So I think he's absolutely right, and I think the reaction on the other side is really telling.
How about the actual, well, not State of the Union, but the address to his joint session of Congress? And how horrible it was, as Sidney alluded to, and that everybody was masked up. They were all vaccinated. They're masked up. It was a somber, really a weak show, a weak display of the American spirit, I thought, Rich.
One of the least favorite of my speeches, of those kind of speeches ever for me. Maybe I've forgotten how much I hated every one of Obama's speeches like that. But at least Obama had some kind of faux eloquence to it and some charisma, you know, better for better or worse. But Biden, yeah, he droned on, and this is just a ridiculous program, and one that he should have done the American public the favor of telling them about beforehand. You know, he had plenty of addresses during the campaign. There were three national debates. He did lots of interviews from his basement. He could have said at any time, my goal is, if I'm elected president, to be the next FDR or LBJ, and the main thing to know about me is I'm not a moderate Democrat. Could have said that at any time.
Right.
Of course, he didn't, because if he would have, the election might have gone the other way. And now he turns around within, you know, 3 months and says he wants to be the next FDR. And all the same people and pundits and people on TV who praised him for being a moderate are now praising him for supposedly being a transformational leader.
It's really unbelievable. You know, Donald Trump took a beating when he put the restrictions on travel back and forth from China, even though any rational person like us, we realize he probably saved hundreds of thousands of lives, but he was called a racist. I mean, they beat the living daylights out of him. How come I'm not hearing that today about Biden with restricting travel from India?
Yeah, I mean, it's just total hypocrisy, of course. And Biden can do whatever he wants and within reason, and the press is going to praise it. And no matter what Trump did, the press excoriated him for it. So just another example of the total hypocrisy.
Total hypocrisy. Excuse me. Back to the Biden speech. On the substance, Rich Lowry, the substance. He's already spent $2 trillion, wants to spend another $4 trillion. You wrote a column about how Republicans lost interest in fighting big spending. But tell us about the dangers of this big spending. Six times more money adjusted for inflation than what FDR spent in the 30s to get out of the Great Depression. Tell us how bad it is and how it could lead to whatever it could lead to.
Yeah, and FDR, by the way, it didn't get us out of the Great Depression. Maybe it alleviated it in certain respects, but the Depression dragged on. And this is more the federal budget in 2019, I believe, was $4.4 trillion. So he wants to spend well over that, and that's over and above the budgeted money we're already spending. So this is totally extraordinary, and maybe nothing bad happens from it, but you don't want to find out. And you don't want to have inflation down the road. You don't want to have interest rates spiking down the road where then this debt burden becomes totally unsustainable. And you don't want to, you know, have the dollar ended as the world's reserve currency. And again, you know, none of that's going to happen tomorrow, but you're putting it at risk. And then you're also just wasting a lot of money, and there's no reason to do it. And I'm hoping this time It didn't happen on the so-called COVID relief bill, but I'm hoping this time he at least has to scale it back pretty significantly.
Rich Lowry, National Review, Politico, NBC, our Monday morning guest, and he's great today, as he always is. So, Rich, Rudy Giuliani's a big national story, not just for us here in New York. The FBI broke down his doors at 6 a.m. over nonsense. But still, even though Washington Post had to apologize, the New York Times had to apologize, your network, NBC, had to apologize, I'm still seeing on some of these liberal networks this morning how he's involved with Russia and this. I mean, they just don't quit. Well, what does it take for these folks when three of these entities have to apologize? What does it take for them to quit?
I know. This is part of the pattern. It hasn't ended since Trump won in 2016. It's all been about Russia. It's all been hysteria, and it's very often been wrong. And no one obviously has learned any lessons, or they wouldn't have had to run all those corrections. So, you know, Rudy probably engaged in some shady dealings over there. Would have been better not to do it. But if what we're talking about is a violation of so-called FARA, which just means you didn't register as a foreign lobbyist, in almost vast majority of cases, almost all cases, what you do is say, oh, okay, sorry, I should have done that. Here's my revised filing, and here's a fine if you want to fine me. But the idea that you prosecute him for it and execute this early morning
search warrant. You bust his doors down at 6 o'clock in the morning. I mean, come on.
It's crazy. And also, this was something that Bob Mueller came up with, and there's another hangover from the Russian hysteria, is that you nail people to the wall for this bureaucratic violation that no one had been prosecuted for previously.
Hey, Rich, are you vaccinated, by the way?
I am. J&J. I'm a J&J man.
J&J. Wow, the one-shot deal. All right. So, look, you're good to go. The New York Post revealed over the weekend emails that disclosed collusion between the CDC and the teachers' union. And on Friday, President Biden actually told Craig Melvin, he said that schools should probably be open by September. Probably be open by September? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, it's just like, oh, maybe we'll be able to do barbecues outside with our family on July 4th. You know, they're always way overcautious. And this is one of the scandals of the pandemic, the harm that was done to children unnecessarily. You know, it's clear almost from the beginning, you can see the data from abroad, that this virus, thank God, did not affect children the way it did adults, and that you could safely reopen schools. And what the teachers figured out, especially in big jurisdictions, is you can get paid for doing nothing, you know, for doing a Zoom for a couple hours from home. And who's going to give that up if they can continue that? And this is just an issue that should be hammered and hammered. It's a total disgrace.
Rich, as always,
child abuse.
Yes, excellent job, Rich. Thank you so much again for this great Monday morning. Have yourself a terrific week, and thanks again.
You
were great. All right, Rich.
Thank you.
There he is, Rich Lowry. You can follow Rich Lowry on Twitter. He's a great Twitter follow. He's at Rich Lowry, and he's also at Rich Lowry on Instagram, which you may have seen. I tagged him this morning in my pre 5 a.m. video, which I shoot outside 3rd Avenue early every morning. And he was great, so thanks to Rich Lowry.
He's terrific. Sydney will be back with sports in a minute. Joe Nolan with traffic. But right now, it's a 77 WABC radio clip of the day. John Catsimatidis on every Sunday morning at 8:30.